This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Terps finished off the regular season beating the Northwestern Wildcats 74-61 on Senior Day there. They two seed in the Big Ten tournament, and they are ranked 11th in the latest AP poll. And let's go out to Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Mike DeCourcy, part of Big Ten Network's college basketball coverage, joins us now. And Mike, thanks as always for joining us. We appreciate your time. So they were a preseason pick to go to finish 10th in the Big Ten. They finished second. How surprised are you that we see that they sit here in the two seed as the tournament starts next week?
It's been a remarkable performance by the Terps. I don't think any of us knew what a revelation Jacoby Gillespie would be, and I think that's where it starts. I mean, we all knew that Julian was a terrific college player. We've seen it for multiple seasons. And Derek Queen was an elite prospect. I think he's probably performed better than maybe even his star rating, just because we've seen a lot of five stars come into college basketball and flash talent but not be players. And Derek's a player. I mean, he brings it every night. He brings up those double-doubles. He's a force with his ability to rim roll. There's a lot to like about him. And so the other two wings have been terrific. And it's been a really, really nice basketball team. And they have been able to get through. Now, this week will be a little different because you're playing game after game after game. So depth can get you in that circumstance, whether it gets you Saturday or Sunday if you stay alive. It can get you. But when they get into next week's tournament, the depth thing becomes less of a concern. There's always the concern for foul trouble and that sort of thing or injury. But to be honest with you, foul trouble to the wrong player can change the deepest team in college basketball. At Michigan State, if Jace Richardson gets into foul trouble, are they still good? Yeah, but they're not the same team. And so if this team has a little foul trouble, it maybe hurts a little bit more than some. But this team will be bothered less by depth in the NCAA tournament than they have been at any point this year. And it hasn't really bothered them that much.
Mike, how much credit do you give Kevin Willard for all of this? It just seemed like he hit home run after home run in the portal, overcame the slow start 1-3 in conference play, overcame the road struggles starting 0-4 in road games to finishing second in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I give him a ton of credit, and he's a coach that deserves more credit than he's gotten over the years, because I don't think that people understood how difficult the Seton Hall job is. Because he did it so well. While he was getting Seton Hall to multiple NCAA tournaments over the decade or so he was there, DePaul was, which had similar issues, was struggling to win five games. And so it just shows, and I'm not saying Seton Hall has never won before, but DePaul had won before as well. But both of them are disadvantaged from a facility standpoint, from a interest standpoint to teams like UConn or St. John's or Villanova, certainly. They all are less difficult jobs than Seton Hall would be. And now he comes to Maryland, and he's only been there a short time, and I think he's got the Terps in a really good position, and they need to continue to recruit at a high level, and they need to continue to develop at a high level. But I think that he's done a wonderful job with this season's team.
How much do you think they need a win against the Fighting Illini? Well, whoever they play, I think it's going to be Illinois, but whatever. Do they need a win in this conference tourney to solidify a top four seed? And is there any way for you to just have a gut feeling on, is this the kind of team that, I know getting sent out west doesn't mean as much as it used to with pods and everything, but do you have a sense of sort of where the committee might sort of slot them?
Well, if they get a number four seed or if they get a five, because the fives are going the same place as the four, the odds are with them heading to Seattle as of now, because that's not that Seattle's not one of the great cities in America, but relative to geography, that's the least desirable placement for every four or five type team except for Arizona. Everybody else, it's like, they'd much rather be in Cleveland, or they'd much rather be in Providence or whatever. I think there might be a four seed that goes to Providence. We'll have to see. But if it's not that, it'll be Denver or Seattle. So that's kind of what it's trending toward. And then maybe you get fortunate and you get placed back east for the for the Sweet 16 in the Elite Eight. And that would be really a great situation for the Terps, because Newark is not far at all. And Kevin certainly knows the real estate up there.
We're talking with Mike DeCourcy. He's Inside Access here on the Fan. Well, let's talk about best case scenario for him, Mike. If they make a run in the Big Ten tournament, say they get to Sunday, in your mind, do they have a chance to improve their seed? Do they have any chance at a three seed?
It's not out of the question, but it would take a lot of good fortune on the part of the Terps, and a bad fortune for teams like A&M, for Kentucky, teams like that. I think that I never rule things out, because you just don't know how that's going to affect the various metrics and all of that sort of thing. But I think the most likely scenario is that they get better placement as a four, be the first team on the four line. If everything works out and there's not a Big Ten team in the East Well, actually, if you were the four, you would be the Big Ten team in the East. So, no, that's not even a concern. So that would be the ideal, would be if you could get to the one or two spot on the four line, then you're going to probably get shipped anyway, because that's where most of the fours are going to be headed. But then you would have that first option on the regional, and you would be then in position to be placed in Newark, probably with Duke. And that would, Duke's really good, but wouldn't that be fun if you got a chance to have Terps versus Blue Devils in the Sweet 16?
Yeah. It seems like the Big Ten has at least eight teams that are locked. Indiana, Ohio State seemingly on the bubble. What do they need to do to get in?
Yeah, I think first of all, they need the good fortune of few bid steals. Now, last year, a bid steal is a team that wins an automatic bid that would not be in the tournament any other way. They are not at-large candidates. And a year ago, we had five of those. It's considered to be an all-time record. I don't know if you could theoretically say it's pretty much theoretical. You can't say that officially, but from a theoretical standpoint, it was an all-time record. This year, we already had one team that was a potential bid steal, Drake. They got their automatic bid in the Valley yesterday by taking care of Bradley. There's probably only two more realistic possibilities out there, and that would be for someone other than St. Mary's or Gonzaga, like a San Francisco, to win the West Coast Conference. That'll be decided tonight. If Gonzaga is playing St. Mary's tomorrow night, no bid steal. They're both getting in. And then the Memphis situation in the American Conference, they'll certainly be in. And then will they win the auto and take the automatic bid and therefore no bid steal? So that's important relative to Big Ten teams, Ohio State and Indiana, also relative to Oklahoma and a few others, Xavier trying to scrape in, Carolina. Those teams are all sort of hoping that we have none of those circumstances. And then you have the very, very outside chance of what we saw a year ago with NC State winning the ACC and therefore taking another bid off the field.
What is, like, best case scenario for the SEC? Like, if they just go hog wild, what are we looking at numbers wise?
Well, they're going to get 13.
Wow.
I think because Oklahoma No, they could. Oklahoma could screw it up, I guess. It's possible. But again, there's almost nobody to take it away from them behind them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons I wrote last week, and you can still see this column pinned to my Twitter feed, at TSN Mike, about why expansion's such a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because if we did it beyond 68, I mean, really, if we're putting Xavier into our fields, and I've got them there, and so do most bracket analysts, if you're putting Xavier in with one quad, one win, what's behind that?
Right.
And so that's why Oklahoma and Ohio State and Indiana are in reasonably good shape, because what's behind them is really not great. And so I think that's why they'll get 13. I don't think they – at one point there was a possibility that they could get 14, but Texas has sort of put themselves behind that. I think it's going to be they would probably have to win the league tournament, and they're just not good enough to do that in that league.
Mike, before we let you go real quick, let's assume everything goes according to seed. What's an Illinois-Maryland game look like Friday to you?
Yeah, it's an interesting game because Illinois has two players who are going to be pros, who are going to be first-round picks, Will Riley and Yakachonis, Kasparis Yakachonis. Those guys are first-round picks in whatever draft they decide to enter, probably this one. And so you have to deal with their ability to create plays. And what you have to do is make the defense rigid enough that the decisions that they make when they're trying to create those plays are uncomfortable and make them make the wrong decisions. Because you can do that. Even Rutgers did it to them in the Rutgers home game back in early February. Other teams that are better made it happen, like Tennessee made them make bad decisions down the stretch. It's going to be a challenging game because they are really talented. And so you have to make the game hard, and that's what Maryland has to do. And you look at Julian Reed is such a wonderful defender, and you've got such great ability at the rim with him and Derek that if you can just keep the ball out of the lane at a reasonable rate, then by the time they do get in there, they've got to deal with two legit shot blockers. I think it would be a good day for Maryland. But it would certainly be a challenge. They'll have to play well. They'll have to play right.
Mike DeCourcy, always great. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we go from Big Ten time to T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
Yeah, more Terps time. And we were all at Kevin Willard's introductory press conference a couple of years ago. And I was thinking about this clip, this quote that he said during that time, but it's been illustrated over these past couple of home games. We're going to play that cut next on The Fan.